Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Home is Where You Park It by Marika Ray. Narrated by T.J. Clark and Marie Hawkins. Chapter 1. Boston. I was going to kill my best friend, and considering my skill set, that wasn't an empty threat. Lincoln. Better cleared with Kiva first. I stared at the text message reply, letting the hurt and anger build, until I thought I was losing my mind. I'd hiked all the way over to the main road to get a signal long enough to text Lincoln about wanting to come out to visit. You see, my best friend had gotten married to my little sister. I'd tried to keep them apart, back when I thought it was just a fleeting attraction. But turned out those two were the real deal. I'd finally given them my blessing, but not until my sister had frozen me out of her life for punching Lincoln in the face and scaring him away for 5 years. It was a long story, but suffice it to say, I had crow to eat, and I was doing my best to get going on that. But my sister was being a mighty pain in my ass. I shoved the phone back in my pocket and started hiking back to the tent I'd set up yesterday morning when I got into town. I finally had the military in the rearview mirror, yet somehow found myself still doing special assignment undercover work. Men normally fucked up a lot of things in their lifetimes, but I'd doubled down on the stupid and found myself without a family or a career. Being here in the small town of Blue Ball was the start of getting some sort of family back, namely my sister. This was the most important mission ever, and I wasn't going to go in there guns blazing without at least scoping out the situation first. The dark green tent was right where I'd left it, a sad, temporary home that was on par with my life recently. I reached inside the tent and grabbed the one clean t-shirt I had left, putting it on and throwing the old t-shirt and the jacket back inside. It was cold out here this time of year, but I'd always run hot. At the last minute, I threw my cell phone back in the tent, zipped it up, and hiked out to where I'd squirreled my truck away behind a thicket of bushes near the highway. I needed to clear my head, and an ice-cold beer sounded like just the thing. Not in Blue Ball, though, as I hadn't told anyone I was in town. Far as my sister and my best friend knew, I was still on the East Coast. It was better that way. I needed to get the lay of the land, figure out a way to get back into my sister's life, and help her the way I should have years ago. I'd find a weakness, and then I'd swoop in to save the day, thus getting back into her good graces. So Auburn Hill it was. The only bar that little town had to offer was called The Tavern. It was as old and crusty as you'd assume from the name, but the beer was cold, and the bartender was as ornery as I was. If memory served, he wouldn't try to engage me in conversation, and that was all right with me. The place was hopping, the sound level so high the second I opened the door, I almost walked right back out. My stomach let out an unholy rumble, and I pressed on, finding an empty spot at the scarred bar top, and bellying up. It took a few minutes before a tall female bartender spared me a glance. Looked like the owner had had to hire help since I'd been here last.
"What can I get ya?"
the bartender asked over her shoulder as she poured a stout. "Beer, light, whatever you got on tap." The woman smirked, but spun back around to the taps after sliding the stout to a guy two stools down from me.
"Watching your girlish figure?"
I huffed through my nose. Something like that. At 6'4" and 275 pounds, I wasn't even close to a girlish figure. They'd called me Tank in the military, and I had no plans to shave muscle off my frame anytime soon. The bartender slid a light-colored pint in my direction and opened a tab for me, before effortlessly going down the bar and serving everyone else. The first pull was long and glorious. The beer slid down easy, and by the time I was on my third pint, I'd ordered some greasy bar food, too. A man could only have so many cans of tuna in a tent before he needed a hot meal. When my belly was full, and I'd had enough beer to temporarily forget about my sister and the nephew she'd hid from me out of spite, I scanned the dance floor for some prime people watching. One couple was entangled so lewdly in the far corner, I wondered if this bar would be the location their future unborn baby was conceived. A woman a decade or two older than me was getting rowdy in the middle of the dance floor. She had a smile on her face that endeared everyone around her, like she was the town mother everyone loved. But the woman also had some moves. Her flashy sneakers moved faster than my eyes could track. She whooped, and the next thing I knew, the younger companion dancing next to her helped her up onto the empty stage that must have held some live bands over the years. The crowd cheered, and someone turned the music up even louder. I winced, but not even the eardrum-breaking bass could make me leave. Not when my eyes were firmly trained on the young blonde laughing up at the older woman. The blonde threw her hands in the air and danced like she was alone in her bedroom, with zero inhibitions. Her hips swiveled from side to side in a pair of skin-tight jeans, and her breasts jiggled freely below a skimpy tank top. Fuck me, but that woman was blessed with all the right curves in a tiny little package. Before I could talk myself out of engaging with the world around me, I found myself on my feet, moving through the throng of bodies to get up behind the blonde. She swiveled in a full circle, those hips leading the way. Her face was just as pretty as her body, full lips curved into a permanent smile, soulful brown eyes sparkling under the overhead lights, and pure joy stamped across her features. I stood there like an idiot, an unmoving mass of muscle, while everyone around me danced. She must have seen me, but instead of being repulsed or afraid, she sidled up next to me and bumped me with her hips. It was like being hit by a bolt of lightning.
"You gotta move your feet,"
she shouted up at me, a tinkling laughter lining every word. She hip-checked me again, and I managed to do exactly as she suggested.
"There you go."
Well, fuck. Now I wanted to dance just to get her to smile up at me like that again. It felt awkward as fuck, but I gave it a shot. The blonde smiled up at me, this time laying her hands on my biceps and squeezing. Pretty sure she was trying to shake me, but I was like a redwood, firmly planted. She threw her head back and laughed.
"Loosen up a bit, and let your whole body feel the beat."
I tried that, and only felt like an ape, dragging his knuckles. Leaning down, I had to shout to be heard over the music. "I don't think my body does that." The woman's gaze dropped down my body, so slowly and methodically, I felt it like a physical touch. When her gaze shot back to mine, there was a heat there I desperately hoped I wasn't imagining. Something about this woman was making my head woozier than the beer.
"You might be right. Do you trust me?"
she shouted up at me. I shrugged. I didn't really trust anyone these days, so that was a bit of a loaded question.
Thankfully, she didn't wait for an answer. She just threw her arms up onto my shoulders,
as far as she could reach,
and pressed her tight little body against me. I felt every single one of her curves, like she'd branded me.
"Move with me,"
she murmured, from at least a foot below me. Her hips swiveled to the side, and I tried to follow, just to keep myself pressed against her body.
"That's it."
She kept moving, and I kept following, not caring if I looked like an idiot, if it kept her tits pushed against my stomach. The view from up here was fucking fantastic. The song switched, and still she stayed. We danced through two more songs, and there was absolutely zero chance she didn't feel my reaction to her behind my fly. The little minx finally shot me a wink, and then ground her body against my erection. My body jolted, and I tried to pull away. I wasn't here to get laid. I was here to settle things with my sister.
"Song's not over yet,"
the blonde said, with a twinkle in her eye I wanted to capture with a photo. She smiled up at me, and I forgot why I was trying to leave. Pretty sure I never wanted to leave this woman's presence. She was happy and wild and fucking joyful. When was the last time I met someone who felt joy? What must it be like to go about life that happy? Her tongue darted out to lick her bottom lip, and my gaze followed. My body tightened, and she pressed in closer. Her head tipped even further back, and the ends of her hair tickled my arm, where it was banded around her waist. I felt myself tipping forward, and not one part of me wanted to stop it. So I didn't. I bent down low, and laid my lips on hers, and felt the shock ripple through my veins. She opened immediately, and suddenly, my tongue was fighting for dominance with hers. The kiss spun out of control. Her hands gripped my shoulders with a bite from her nails. My hips ground against her soft stomach, and my dick begged for more. One hand slid from where it was gripping her hip and found the curve of her ass. My body shivered, picturing that mound of naked flesh in my hands, if I got her someplace more private. The woman pulled back enough to nibble on my bottom lip before smiling up at me.
All this dancing and no breaks? I have to visit the ladies' room.
And then she was gone, ripping herself away from my arms and spinning on her cowboy boots to walk away from me. My jeans were indecently tented, and given my size, I drew attention. As I watched my mystery woman saunter away, I tried to piece together what she'd said. It was the wink she'd given me, as she said, "The ladies' room," that clued me in. She wasn't walking away. She was finding somewhere more private. Exactly what I'd been wishing for. I edged away from the dance floor in the direction of the restrooms. I paused to pull my wallet out and check to make sure I had protection on me, in case things went the direction my brain had gone. Thank fuck, I did. I slid the wallet in my back pocket, adjusted things in the front, and marched to the hallway leading to the restrooms. It was quieter back here, and darker. Perfect for finding out this woman's name before we fucked. I had standards, you know. Low ones, but some standards existed. Except once I got back there, past the doors to the restrooms, the woman was standing with her hands on her hips, and the bottom of one boot pressed up against the wall behind her. Her smile had so much sass and happiness when she caught sight of me, I lost my train of thought. As I stepped up between her legs, and my hands landed on her hips, I couldn't think of a damn thing, except getting my hands on more of her naked flesh, before I died from blue balls. Sadly, I never paused long enough to find out her name.
Chapter 2. Audrey. I really should be working on my mailers tonight, I said absentmindedly to my reflection in the mirror in my tiny bedroom. But when Nikki Hellman called with an invitation to dance the night away, you didn't say no. Nikki was a force to be reckoned with. She was also my stepmom. No, that wasn't right. Half-mom? Sorta-mom? It was a long and twisted story. Suffice it to say, she was the mom I wished I had growing up. I winced. That made me sound super ungrateful for the mom I did have, who had grown leaps and bounds in the last few years. I was grateful for her. I really was. A knock on my door had me spinning around on my boot heels. Maddie, my roommate, stuck her head in my room with a look I knew all too well. My stomach sank, and my skin-tight going-out jeans rubbed my skin wrong. Hey, mind if I come in a second? I nodded and slid my driver's license into my front pocket, along with a $20 bill I'd planned to use to splurge on a fancy coffee drink next time I got a new real estate client. Instead, it would be going toward not quite cold enough beer tonight. Maddie leaned against my doorway, looking her usual gorgeous self in a flowy dress and suede boots. The gold necklaces and bangles on her wrists just added to her bohemian flair.
I might be a few hundred short this month.
I tried to ignore the new turquoise ring prominently displayed on her middle finger that must have cost a pretty penny. The woman was the life of the party, everyone's friend, and the best damn masseuse west of the Mississippi. But she couldn't manage her money to save her life, a personality trait I should have picked up on before we moved in together.
Maddie,
I breathed quietly, not quite sure what to say. Being behind on half of the rent wasn't okay, but what was I supposed to do? Lecture a grown adult? I know, Odd. I'll get it to you just after the first, though. I have a packed schedule next week. I'm so sorry. Considering there were tears in her eyes, I didn't have the heart to be a bitch about it. I know you'll get it to me. I stepped over to put my hand on her arm. Besides, I still have a little left over from my first real estate deal. It wasn't much, considering most of that commission had gone to fixing all the maintenance things on my old clunker of a car that I'd been putting off for years. But it would have to do. I was eternally grateful my best friend Kiva had agreed to use me as their agent to help her and her husband buy their first house. Now I just needed to drum up more clients. Maddie put her hand on mine and squeezed, eyes instantly clearing. Thank you. I have an opening Tuesday. Free massage? I grinned. I'd love that. And I would. Maddie had magic hands. She left, and I finished getting ready, just spritzing on my favorite perfume, when Nikki honked from the front curb outside our bottom-floor condo. I ran outside, locked the door, and headed for her SUV. She waved wildly out the windshield, dressed in a bright blue shirt with feather earrings that were already tangled in her fresh bob haircut. Nikki was old enough to be my mom, but she was still pageant girl pretty. In fact, she seemed to have aged in reverse since she and Jason got married. That man was proof that the addition of the right person could do wonders in your life. Jason was also my boss and working wonders in my professional life.
Ready to light the town of hell on fire, baby doll?
She hollered the second I opened the car door and slid inside. Like I said, Nikki was a force of nature. Something like that, I said back with a bright smile. I leaned across the console and gave her a hug, still amazed how well we got along. I loved this woman. She had every reason to hate me, considering her ex-husband had been carrying on with my mom for years while they'd still been married. Nikki could have blamed me for my father's sins, or at least let her pride keep her at a distance. But not this woman. She reached across the awkward gap and pulled me into her vortex of love and acceptance exactly when I needed it the most.
Getting your first real estate deal is huge, baby. If we didn't celebrate this momentous occasion, I'd never forgive myself.
Nikki put the car in drive and headed toward the tavern, the only bar in her little town.
Well, thanks, but I plan to get a whole lot more of them. Damn straight, and we'll celebrate those too.
A beat or two of silence took over, and that had Nikki glancing over at me curiously.
You don't seem that excited. What, you don't like the money?
I blew out a breath between my lips.
Of course I do. Just feel like making enough of it is taking too damn long. Oh, honey, don't stress about that just yet. You're only 26. You've got decades of money stress ahead of you. Believe me.
Nikki snorted.
Enjoy being single and having that sexy bod of yours. Get out there tonight and shake that ass and let loose. The money thing will still be there later.
I huffed out a laugh. I know. I just feel restless. All my brothers are married, my sister is off at college, my friends are starting to get paired off, and here I am just sitting around the same town I grew up in, doing nothing.
Nikki let out a gasp, more appropriate for me having confessed a murder. Doing nothing? Girl, you just got your real estate license faster than anyone Jason's ever worked with before, and your first client before the ink was dry on said license.
I opened my mouth, but Nikki cut me off by throwing her palm up between us. Oh dear, I'd thrown Nikki into a rant. She was known for a good rant, or 20, and I should have known better than to get her going.
Furthermore, can we talk for a moment about how being young is wasted on the youth? Girl, I can't get out of bed without stretching my legs first, or else they'll cramp up like the dickens. I keep tweezers in my car console to catch the stray chin hairs when I'm stopped at a red light, because, damn, natural light is like a spotlight on those suckers. I lost my waistline somewhere around 45 and have no hopes of finding it again. I spent all my cellulite-less, tiny-waisted, high-energy years on raising 5 babies, and now that I do have the time and the money to shake my moneymaker all night long, I have to drink electrolytes every other glass of wine just to survive the night. So how about you dial back the responsibility just for one goddamn night and enjoy your youth so I don't have to strangle you? She turned into the bar parking lot too fast, the SUV jostling us every which way before she squealed to a stop in a parking space and turned to face me. There was a sheen of sweat on her top lip that only added to the energy popping from her pretty face. I put both hands up before she really got going. Message received. Save your energy for the dance floor, Nikki. We got some moneymakers to shake. Now that's what I'm talking about. Nikki shot me a wink and we both climbed out of the car. She paid for the first round of drinks, despite my arguing about paying my own way. Something about her being older and wiser and able to throw her weight around at her advanced age. I decided relenting was better than brewing another rant. By the time I got to my fourth drink, I wasn't feeling a damn thing but free and happy. My family and money troubles were long forgotten when the DJ played my favorite song. Nikki hopped up on the stage to dance to the hoot and hollers of our fellow citizens. I wasn't quite that free. I'd enjoy the song from down here, thank you very much. A strong presence had me turning around halfway through the song. A man, larger than I'd ever seen, stood directly behind me. I was used to large males. I had five older half-brothers who were no strangers of the gym. But this guy eclipsed them all. And he was staring at me like he wanted to lick the sweat off my neck while ignoring the beat of the song entirely. I couldn't have that. Not to my favorite song. You gotta move your feet, I shouted up at the man. I swiveled my hips and bumped him, earning me a grunt but no dancing. I tried again a few beats later, and he began a pathetic little shuffle that barely passed as dancing. It was like watching a handsome Sasquatch try out a hip-hop class. I threw back my head and laughed. There you go! He seemed to warm up a bit, joints looser. My vision was slightly blurry, but even so, I could tell he had a handsome face. Wild brown hair down to almost his shoulders, dark brown eyes that caught the bright lights from above, and shoulders. Dear God, the man had an upper body that looked like it was half mountain instead of human. Ignoring all the stranger danger warnings my brain would have been pumping out under sober conditions, I put my hands on his biceps, just to see what a man like that felt like. Heaven. He leaned way down to get close to my ear, the scent of pine trees and cologne adding to the mix of sweaty bodies. I don't think my body moves like that. His voice was deep, guttural, a slash of vowels and consonants in my ear that had me shivering. As he straightened back up, my eyes went on an adventure, cataloging the trim waist below the t-shirt, the well-worn jeans that couldn't hide tree-trunked thighs, all the way to the black boots that weren't merely for fashion based on the scratches. Wanting to feel that body of his against mine was my only thought. I slid my hands up his arms and over his shoulders, surprised when I couldn't reach much past the very tops of his shoulders. I was short, a condition I was used to by now. But damn, this guy was a giant. His hands landed on my hips, his thumbs touching in the middle of my stomach without even trying. I found myself pressed up against miles of muscle, and despite his size, the man let me lead. No more words were exchanged. We just danced through that song and the next, and the next. His hips kept time with mine, his feet moving just enough to keep up. It was the hip swivel I began on that third song that changed things. There was a new mountain of something between us, and it was located behind the fly of his jeans, growing and pressing against my stomach insistently. My gaze flew up, way up to his. He blinked and jolted back like a gentleman. My fingers made the decision for me, gripping his shoulders like a lifeline. Song's not over yet, I said flirtatiously. Apparently part of Nikki's rant had buried into my brain. I was simply enjoying my youth with this gorgeous man, and I wanted more enjoyment. I smiled up at him and licked my lips. His gaze dropped to my mouth, and like a fly to honey, that man was coming in for a kiss. He was incredibly gentle, his lips barely grazing mine before I licked his bottom lip and took things up a notch. He deepened the kiss right there on the dance floor, tasting like something I'd never had before, something rich and deep and addictive. His hands gripped me harder, his cock digging into my stomach with a desperation I felt between my legs. When his big hand cupped my ass and squeezed, I knew I had to get out of there before I dry-humped this man in front of everyone Nikki'd grown up with on the dance floor of the tavern. I pulled back with a dazed smile. All this dancing and no breaks. I have to visit the ladies' room. I shot him a wink, which I hoped he'd interpret correctly. I wanted him to follow me. To what end, I wasn't sure. I wasn't about to have sex in a public place, but I needed more of him away from prying eyes. I felt his gaze on me as I pushed through the crowd and headed for the darker corridor that led to the restrooms. I didn't have to wait long. The man found me in the back corner waiting for him just a minute later, stepping right up and picking up where we left off. For his lack of dancing skills, a man could kiss. I'd give him that. My nose felt numb, and I'd forgotten to keep my moans quiet. I truly didn't even remember there was a world outside of the little cocoon this man had made with his large body. I couldn't see light beyond the width of his shoulders, and that was just fine by me. When he bent low to trail those lips along my neck, I finally got my hands on his long hair. I made a fist and pulled on those strands, holding him against me. His lips found a spot behind my ear that made my knees go weak. My skull cracked against the wall as I threw my head back in bliss. "Easy," he murmured against my skin. But then he shoved his hard thigh between my legs, and nothing about that would make me take it easy. The ache between my legs lit into a forced fire of want. I rocked my hips shamelessly against his thigh, the perfect friction to give my clit exactly what she needed. "That's it, baby. Ride my leg and let me hear you." Fuck. He could make me orgasm just whispering in my ear like that. The man should be a telephone sex operator. Did they still have those? I wanted to slap myself for even wasting time on that thought. I had him right here in the flesh, whispering in my ear and doing things with his lips that shouldn't be legal. How could a leg be doing what the most expensive vibrator in my drawer couldn't? And if his leg could do all this, what the hell could his cock do? My eyes rolled back in my head, and I was gone, an orgasm ripping through me like a forest fire out of control. The man bent down and captured my cries with his mouth, swallowing them down and taking advantage of my mouth, until I pushed him back an inch so I could catch my breath. Oh my God! His cocky grin was the thing of legends. It turned his face into something dangerously handsome. The kind of face that makes you do uncharacteristic things just to get another scrap of his attention. "Didn't even get you naked yet, baby." My poor, abused, worn-out, orgasm-blissed body shivered. "Little hussy." "Audrey, honey?" Nikki's voice down the hallway had my eyes widening. Oh, shit. I was in the hallway at the bar. I'd just ridden a strange man's tree-trunk leg to orgasm in a public place. I was pretty sure that wasn't the kind of marketing Jason had been alluding to when he said I needed to get my name out there to garner new clients. I cleared my throat and pushed the hulking man away from me. "Yeah, I'm here," I called back. She came rushing down the hallway with only one earring and her hair a tangled mess, barely sparing the man behind me a glance. "Ace is here. He's not happy with us. We better go." Ace was my oldest half-brother and the most responsible of them all. He didn't like it when his mama went out dancing and drinking. He'd probably lecture us on the car ride home about it being some kind of safety violation. Nikki grabbed my hand and towed me down the hallway. I spared a glance over my shoulder to my mystery man. He was watching me go, his heated eyes looking like he could have gone all night rocking my world if I'd just stayed. I shivered again, this time because my brain was finally kicking in. He was exactly the kind of man who could distract me from my goals in life. The exact kind of man my father had been. A homewrecker. A disruptor. I wanted a man who had a 9-to-5 job and a desire for 2.5 kids and white picket fences. That guy looked like he wanted my damn soul.
Chapter 3. Boston. By the time I reached my camp in the woods, I still hadn't gotten the woman out of my head. The replay of her shocked gasp, followed quickly by a moan, echoed in my head far louder than the chirp of the male mockingbird in the tree branches above. I shifted the front of my jeans, but that didn't let up the pressure on my straining erection. I huffed out a breath through my nose. Leave it to me to hunker down in a town called Blue Ball and end up with an actual case of blue balls. I'd only gone out to get a cold beer, and yet somehow found myself up close and intimate with a woman far hotter than I had any right to.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?